News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Well, I did it again, and then I didn't do it again. I didn't fill out any bracket. I almost never do. I don't know why I don't get around to it, but anyway.
Just not a bracket boy.
I guess I'm not a bracket boy. I watch the games for the joy of watching the games, but that filling out the bracket is a cool idea, too, so you can kind of have a running interest, not necessarily to gamble and to win, but...
Well, it's just like, you know, Sean always brings this up whenever the Mega Millions or the Powerball gets over a certain amount. Everyone's daydreaming about, what if I win?
Well,
what
first
if
thing,
I win that money?
If I won, Sean, if you're listening, you would never see me again. let me say goodbye to you here on the air.
It's such a small chance that you would actually, you know, win any of these bracket challenges. And I have noticed over the years that the prize pool has gotten smaller for a lot of these. You know, I don't know if ESPN and CBS Sports and all of them are cutting costs.
Well, one of them, either CBS or ESPN, because Princeton won and Furman won, they've got like 27 that are...
Yahoo Sports,
Yahoo, 27 that are... still perfect.
Yeah, which is amazing. But that's kind of the tact I took. I do fill out a bracket every year, and I used to spend a lot more time on it, like actually breaking down all 36 of the first games.
Yeah, not just going on team colors and stuff like the people do.
And I still don't do that, but I'll take a look at, you know, their rankings and how they look coming into the tournament and then try to make educated guesses. And then I just throw a lot of that away and say, there's going to be upsets you don't see coming.
All the clamor, all the discussion, all the dissension, people losing their minds after they give you the field, right, on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a two-hour show of people crying about who didn't get in, right? After you have the selection. That's an hour long. They show you who's in. And you got 2 hours of people...
Complaining.
Yeah. And it's called a show?
Yeah, and they also do the interviews with the coaches who are just completely buttoned up and like, well, you know, I know we're playing either Texas A&M Corpus Christi or who was the other team they had in the 16? Like NATO. It's going like, but we're up for a tough test.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously weren't. You won by almost 30 points yesterday.
And your best player didn't score.
Yeah.
So, and so you've got all that. And going into this year, one of the biggest complaints in our area of the country had to do with, man, they should have definitely seeded Texas A&M higher, right?
That
was the complaint out of the SEC. Texas A&M's getting the screws put to them, and they got beat.
They got smoked by Penn State. Yeah,
right.
And that busted my bracket, I'll be honest. You know, I just trying to take a different kind of route to the Final Four because you don't want to pick all one and two seeds. So I thought maybe A&M can go on a run here. And I had actually A&M and Auburn meeting in the, I guess it was the Elite Eight they would have met.
Hasn't Alabama's path to the Final Four gotten easier now with the upsets? Arizona, I think, was... So Alabama is... sorry that I don't have all this information. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I'm pulling the bracket right now.
But Alabama won easily, and I think Arizona was number two to Alabama being number one in the same region. And if that's the case, you got number two is gone, so you don't have to worry about them down the line. There were a couple of upsets, I think, that made the path to the Final Four easier for Alabama.
Yes.
Not that they need it, because I think they're the best team.
Arizona was in their bracket. It's likely the toughest team they may have to face here out is Baylor on that same side. Now, with Auburn, who's in the Midwest, who looked really great at times yesterday, I think they got out to a 17-point lead. You had Janiah Broome, who's just become unstoppable here in these late stages of the season. And then out of nowhere...
How about Bruce Pearl saying, we got a break because Iowa wasn't any good? I mean, he just about said that in the postgame.
Yeah, he said they weren't nearly as fast as Auburn, but much more physical. But you had this freshman, Trey Donaldson, and I think he's a freshman, but just came out of nowhere and looked like Steph Curry out there, just knocking down threes from everywhere.
For Auburn?
For Auburn. Yeah. And then Iowa bounced back, and then Janiah Broome really snuffed out that candle late in the game. So I think Auburn, and I saw Paul on the Ascension Technologies text line earlier, Paul said that he thinks Auburn can beat Houston tomorrow night, and I have to agree with him. The Houston coach was actually pretty upset. It looked like they would be the number one overall seed until they lost their conference championship game on Sunday.
So are they a two?
They are a one seed, but they're the number two overall team in the country.
And they got to play Auburn in Birmingham.
In Birmingham. So the Houston coach was upset. He's like, we might as well have been the nine seed in this instance.
Well, isn't that Calvin Sampson?
I can't remember his name.
The head coach?
I can't remember. But if Auburn beats Houston, then they're looking at, you know, Miami, Indiana, possibly they play. Auburn really could go on a little run here, and everyone would forget about the middling regular season that they had.
Yeah, it was even worse than that. I mean, down the stretch, they won 4 of 11 games, I think. So they were hobbling. There was some question whether they were going to get in. So they get in, they get a win, and now the path looks easier for them, too.
Yeah, one of my strategies going in for my already busted bracket was rank the SEC teams high and rank the Big 12 teams high, because those seem to be the two toughest conferences this year. And so far, the SEC, outside of Mississippi State losing that play-in game and then Texas A&M getting blown out, SEC looking really good. You had Bama, Auburn, Tennessee, Missouri, and Arkansas winning yesterday. Kentucky will play later today. That's another team that could go on a long run here.
That's the last SEC team to suit it up for
the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, so good stuff. Let us know, does your bracket hack it? Or should you sack it? Let us know on the text line, 251-34301.
Don't let us know that.
06. We've got our three big things this morning. A lot of it has to do with the state spending some major moolah, and Dan's was about the ARPA plan that sailed right on through. Not much of a special session needed. They just needed a couple days.
Yeah, so the way it sailed through, you almost felt like that was going to be, it was almost signed, sealed, and delivered before they ever had the special session. It was almost like everybody was in lockstep, and it was going to happen, and there are going to be a few people dissenting, but otherwise, you know, Governor Ivey wanted it certain ways, and they pretty much made it happen without much dissension or dissent at all, and it's over $1.06 billion in federal ARPA money, and now we know where it's all going to go.
Yeah, and so you had them passing that, and then there's this story that kind of went, I don't want to say undercovered, but it doesn't seem like, it's either people aren't that surprised, or they really are just tired of hearing about the prisons at this point, but I think it's a pretty dang big deal that this week, the Alabama Corrections Institution Finance Authority, so they laid out back in 2021 this two-prison plan, mega-prison plan, $1.3 billion is what they estimated the cost would be back when the legislature approved it in 2021. $1.3 billion. They'd have one in Elmore County and then one in Escambia County. Now, the construction on the Escambia County prison hasn't even begun, as far as I can tell. And the Elmore County prison, while they cleared the land, there was rumors that it was being delayed, the construction. And some outlets were reporting that it's because they found some underground streams and had to kind of, you know, recheck that area, I guess. But then weeks later, the state came out and said that's not the case and that they're on track. But the big news this week, they've now increased the estimated cost of the Elmore County prison alone from $623 million to $975 million. So nearly a $1 billion prison to fit 4,000 inmates in there. I mean, that seems a bit excessive. And they're blaming inflation, and they're also blaming changes to the construction plan. They've added, I guess, more, according to, was it All Britain or was it one of the legislators involved here said that Bill Poole. He said, we've increased the education and vocational space, and there have been other scope and parameters that have changed. And then he, again, blames inflation and the cost. So the initial plan, $1.3 billion, and that was with Elmore County's prison costing $623 million. You boost that by the 56% that went up this week to $975, and that's still not the final cost. Bill Poole said we'll know probably this summer what the final cost for that Elmore County prison is. I would assume, and I know that's not always a good thing to do, but I would assume that the Escambia County prison is also going to go up in cost.
You would think. You would think. If it's got to do with inflation and you basically are getting the same same materials, you know, for the prison, for the other prison, you would think that that's going to be the pretty much the same tally. And what's amazing, you were talking about this earlier, we had about a dozen years of pretty decent economy,
yeah,
where these big projects could have been tackled without this inflation.
Yeah, we kept pushing off this prison plan for years, and so who knows what it would have cost if we would have started on this a good 5-10 years ago, but also locally, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project.
So I got some numbers on that, Dalton.
I do too, and we can definitely hit that over the break, because there were numbers they were floating out there back in 2019, but remember, because of the $6 toll that was proposed, that PPP project, the $6 toll, basically the anti-toll groups snuffed that out. And so you go down the line, and then 3 years later, last year, 2022, we approved the plan at a different cost than we would have approved it 3 years ago. And can we safely assume that the, what was it, $2.7 billion that they're estimating for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway, can we assume that that is going to be the final cost? I think that'll probably go up as well.
Yeah. Alabama Department of Transportation confirmed. I'm looking at a number, and that doesn't jive with me. So yeah, let's take this into the break, so we can estimate on that as well. Because I was doing some math here with a number that was different than that on what the projected cost is going to be. But why wouldn't it? I mean, if you're talking about construction materials for a prison, for a bridge, I don't see how a bridge and Bayway are going to escape inflation while a prison does not.
And I've got news for you. I don't think that costs are going to subside anytime soon. If anything, things will get a lot pricier, and supply chains will get, it seems like they've fixed some supply chain problems, but there's still a great chance, especially with all the international turmoil, that we experience some more supply chain issues. So the two humongous projects in the state, this mega prison project and the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, which will be paid mostly locally at this point, those costs have skyrocketed.
Yeah, you can pretty much disregard the sticker price that you currently see on top of the Bayway project, I would guess. Now, we can talk to some members of the board on either side of the bay and maybe get a different story, but wouldn't you think, if the prisons are dealing with the inflation costs, the bridge and Bayway would as well. More on that on the way, plus the Ascension Technologies text line is 251-343-0106. Good morning, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 824. Ascension Technologies text line, 251-343-0106. It's also the telephone line if you want to give us a call and be on the air with us. We'll trust you won't use bad language. We barely ever do.
On the air.
Paid professionals. Yeah, on the air. I was just looking at, so right now the project is $2.7 billion total.
The bridge project. That's what was, that's what was passed, a $2.7 billion estimated cost.
If it suffers the same way inflationary costs that the prisons are talking about,
mm-hmm,
that would be closer to $4.3 billion.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's the math.
So
basically,
Ed, with that Elmore County prison, which just went up in price to $975 million to house 4,000 inmates, he said that cost would be about $250,000 per inmate. Yeah. I'm looking at that El Salvador prison that everyone's talking about that could house 40,000. And wondering, you know, is it possible we could get a little bit more bang for our buck? But I guess the problem with the prisons now is that they're overcrowded.
Yep.
So does each prisoner get their own room now? I don't know. I know they'll have more cells instead of what they've been doing at these prisons, which is a lot of the blocks, you know, where they have a lot of people in one room or whatever those are called, dormitories.
Yeah. Well, and look, the prisons are, it's a political hot potato for sure. People, it's not a sexy item. It's not something that wins you votes, so they just stay away from it. I'm talking about elected officials. But the fact is that the feds have to come in, that the prison system is about as rotten as you can get in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe people are like, hey, you know, you can have your own line of thinking there. They did the time, you do the crime, you do the time and all that, but there are ways to imprison people that are not, that are healthier. People stay alive. Some people actually get educated and rehabilitate themselves. Jeff Poor had a guest on that was very interesting, for a Republican from the north end of the state who'd been in prisons, jails. He'd been in he had worked in those, and from his perspective, there were a lot of ways the state of Alabama could do better with their prisons, not just the physical prison itself. But again, okay, so we're just looking at inflation, and we're looking at big numbers.
Yeah, if it matches the same rise in costs as the Elmore County prison, you're saying possibly over $4 billion. So the main thing we're talking about here is how we really couldn't have picked a worse time for these two major projects, the prisons and then the bridge. I'm looking at, and it was really a trip down memory lane, looking back at what this I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, what they were proposing back in 2019 when they were going to go with a public-private partnership. So at that time, and I'm looking at the five things to know about the Mobile River Bridge from the Mobile Chamber. They wrote this back in the summer of 2018.
Okay, love to hear it.
ALDOT estimates the project to cost approximately $2 billion. So remember, the latest, the bridge project that was confirmed last year, $2.7 billion. So already a rise by almost $1 billion. And it looks like almost an identical construction plan. I mean, I'm sure some things have changed, but it was a 12-mile widening project, 6-lane cable-stayed bridge over the river, 7.5 miles of 8-lane bridges across the bay, which would be the new bayway, and then 5 interchange modifications. I mean, I'm sure some things have changed a little bit from that, but pretty similar to what we're looking at now with the project they're hopefully going to get started on by early next year.
So at one time, was it the whole thing that got rejected? Was it that plan? But the bridge itself was almost going to be like a... it's going to be like the Golden Gate Bridge. It's going to be so big and beautiful and something that people would be like, come to see. Mm. Like the bridge itself was going to be not just part of transportation, but it was going to be like part of the Mobile cityscape that was going to be, part of the city.
Yeah, something that like tourists would come
tourists
just to see.
People would be, something like that.
I don't know if that was ever a part of the official plan. I know I was saying if we're going to spend that much money on it, we might as well, if we're going to spend $2.7 billion, why not spend $15 billion or $20 billion? If this toll won't sunset for another 75 years, what do any of us care? But now, and the federal money does kind of play a role in this. So remember, it was going to be a $6 toll each way with the 2019 plan that was rejected. And they changed that now. So $2.50 for cars, unless
That's right.
Have a transponder, which would be $40 a month, I think is what that was.
So $2.50 crossing for cars that have got the transponder. And so you buy the transponder, and that's just... $18, something like that? $5 to $15, whatever the transponder is going to cost. So that's a one-time purchase. And then $5.50 per trip for cars without the transponder.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get the transponder.
Yeah, and then if you have two axles, I think they said $9. 18-wheelers will be paying $18 per trip. But as far as the money that's come in so far, and I know John Sharp wrote a nice article earlier this week, as we look at possibly more federal funding on the way, so far ALDOT has pulled together one federal grant. That was what Shelby was able to do before leaving office, $150 million. And then $250 million through state funding. A federal $300 million loan is expected to be repaid through a toll plan that includes an unlimited trip option of $40 a month for motorists with an Algo pass. And then also, Sharp says the lion's share of the I-10 project could be financed through the federal government's TIFIA program, which provides credit assistance to qualified projects, and up to 49% of a project's overall costs could be financed through new guidelines at a 35-year fixed-rate loan. Now, I don't know if they've locked in that rate.
I don't know. Also, you've got the freeways to go to. The freeway, Bankhead Tunnel, Africatown Bridge,
yeah,
and the causeway. But then you're going to have so much traffic on those roads, road repairs are going to have to come into play as well.
That's right.
8:30, Dan and Dalton.
8:35 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a St. Patrick's Day Friday. And now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys, and happy St. Patrick's Day to y'all.
Hey, same to you, Louie. And the weather not looking too great for today. And it's a great reminder for folks that if they want to shop for vehicles, they don't have to go to the lot. They can do it online.
That's right. McConnellAutomotive.com. We got all the pictures and everything you need to know about them, actually. We got great deals going on a new car side. You know, we a lot of use, but we'd love to sell a few of these new trucks. Got some great interest rates on those, 2.9%. Got a great selection of them. Y'all could, like I said, check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got plenty of Buicks over there, so we're going to be here all weekend. I think Stan's going to cook a little crawfish tomorrow, so we're going to be around here and have a good old time and try to sell a few cars.
Yeah, it sounds great. Also, if someone else wants to sell their car to McConnell, they can do that, and you got a pretty sweet deal going on.
That's right. Call Gene, 251-476-4141. Give him the VIN, the miles, and a little description of the car, and he'll try to give you a price right over the phone. Plus, we'll give you a $100 gift card to any restaurant you like, and that's going to go on through the whole month. So just give us a call.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. Find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:37 now, and Mobile Morning, St. Patrick's Day. Sure. Mm-hmm. So happy St. Patrick's Day. A couple of things. You got the storm on the way. You get colder weather on the way. So all that is leading to a pretty low. I thought it was higher than it should have been, actually. But I should not be questioning Dr. Bill. But he's in the 1.7s. But the weekend seemed a little more brutal to me.
Yeah, he said 1.75. Backstrap Stacker was our winner today on the weekend weather scale guessing game. And then we're going to hit some cold weather the next few nights. So into the 40s tonight, it looks like. And then tomorrow, chilly and windy. 38 degrees, the low for tomorrow night in Mobile. Sunday night, low in the mid-30s. Yeah. Doc said many areas will be near or under the freezing mark, and then things will start to warm up a little bit. Not really Monday. We'll be in the upper 30s Monday night, and then Tuesday, high of 65, and Wednesday, high of 75. Reminder, a lot of you, including me, have put out those tomato plants, getting them ready for spring, having them grow. And yesterday, Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile talked with Bill Finch, who gave some great tips about how to go about protecting your plants as we head into this little cold snap. Looking at the Ascension Technologies text line at 251-343-0106, unnamed texter here said, "Happy St. Patrick's Day to Dan, Sean, and the rest of the gang." So they know that you and Sean are most likely to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Maybe it's the last names that gave that away. I don't know.
I get my middle name.
Middle name, that's right. Also, Tony Ann with a reminder, Chocolate Festival tomorrow at the grounds. The 13th annual Chocolate Festival, and those proceeds benefit the Penelope House, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So a great charity event there that we have in Mobile every year. You mentioned you have the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show starts today. You got the Fairhope Arts and Crafts, which starts today. Hopefully their weather cooperates with them as we have some bad weather on the way today and then some windy cold weather tomorrow. One more text. Grant says... let's see. I'm drinking coffee, about to get a 12 Bud Light and paint a bedroom. Just listen to you guys and stay home and eat pizza. Hey, that sounds like a good day, Grant. Sounds like a really good day.
Nothing more Irish than that. Now, the beer part, yeah. The pizza, I don't know. But that's good. He's going to paint. He's going to be painting a room.
That's what he says. Yeah, it sounds like a fun day.
I want to see the room after he's painted it, after he's been drinking, drinking and painting at the same time.
Yeah, the first part might look a lot better than the second part.
You might think.
So Chicago, you know, they make that river green for St. Patrick's Day.
They do.
Coming up, outgoing Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was absolutely roasted at a city council meeting, I believe yesterday. I'm going to play that audio for you. But Dan, you were telling me, with all this March Madness talk, all this basketball talk, you've got a great basketball story.
Well, so Tommy played Division I basketball, and so he was in that world, and so he had friends along the way, made friends along the way, and all that. And so we had a pickup game. I might have still been in high school. I guess. Let's just say I was. So it's a pickup game. It's around 1975 or 6. It's summertime. And we're playing, me, Tommy, a few other people, and we have a fifth guy that we say, hey, he's going to be on our team. So we're just dividing up the teams. And the fifth guy made us – Tommy was a good player, but the fifth guy made us – even better. So no one knew who he was. So it was funny to watch the reaction of the thugs on the other side. These guys are, they took it kind of seriously. They were tough guys, you know, and where I grew up, it was a kind of a, you know,
hard rough and tumble.
Yeah, a little rough and tumble. Not dangerous, but not dangerous in guns and stuff like that. But you had people who, you know, quickly would, drop everything and say, let's figure this out.
Scrappy.
So anyway, these scrappy guys we were playing, they didn't have any answer for this guy that just kind of showed up. At the end of the game, they were like, who are you? And the point is, the fact is that the end of that season, I think he was at the end of the bench for the Lakers. But he was, his name was Bruce Parkhill, and he was a friend of my brother's. In the ACC, he was the player of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
At Virginia. Then he played a few years in the pros, like with the Virginia Squires. They were an ABA team. Dr. J played for them and all that. So he, you know, he played a little bit, and then he ended up his last tour of duty, I guess you would say. He was at the end of the bench of the Lakers. Wow. So we had a guy on the Los Angeles Lakers on our team.
On your pickup team.
And the gentlemen were not, they thought we should have, they thought this all should have been out in the open ahead of time. But I was just like, hey man, let his play speak for himself. He, what aggravated the rough and tumble opponents was that on one play in particular, he was out in the middle of the you know, in the 3 second lane, closer to the foul line, and a rebound bounced high off, and he was able to run and dunk it over a guy, and they were like, no fair. But it was so much fun to watch a guy that was that good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, my brother was good too. So we had two very skilled players. In a way, they were making up for me, but it was hilarious to watch these guys try to defend this guy. And then at the, it was almost like a game show. At the end, you say, "Well, here's what you didn't know."
Yeah, pros versus Joes.
Yeah, Barry. It was Barry Parkhill. He was a ACC player of the league in the ACC.
So, did these scrappy opponents of yours? Did they eventually down the line when the NBA player had left? Did they find you and get a little revenge?
They did not.
No, they did not.
Thank God. So they eventually were kind of flattered by the fact that they were playing against a guy that was in the NBA. But again, he was not like a star in the NBA. He was the 15th player taken overall by the Portland Trailblazers round one. So he was that good a player coming out of college.
Yeah, I think people really, like normal people, even if you played a bit of high school sports, really overestimate your abilities compared to some of these college and pro guys.
Yeah.
You know, the people who think they can hit a fastball from an MLB pitcher or even beat some college kid one-on-one who's getting time. You know, even the guys at South Alabama and some of these colleges who may be in the 100 to 200 range for top colleges, they'll still smoke most normal people.
Absolutely. And that's funny about South Alabama. I saw them early in the year, and they just couldn't hit the side of, you know, the side of a barn with their shots. Once they started shooting well, they turned into a really good team. So sometimes a team can get better as they move. You may think they're not very good, and in the end, they are. And you see that with the NCAA tournament as teams get hot going down the stretch.
Yeah.
I don't know if Princeton was hot or not when they got They beat a team with all kinds of five stars on it.
That's kind of like our show.
Yeah.
Get hot down the stretch.
Yeah.
That's how it works out.
Yeah. I don't know that we'd beat a bunch of five stars, but I think we've won some sort of an award. I guess the ladies are going to come back and tell us that are attending the
Abbeys.
The Abbeys in Birmingham.
We'll find out if we won something, I guess, tomorrow.
All right.
So I mentioned this audio, and bear with me. It's a little long, but this dude absolutely roasts outgoing Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. He was a reporter. He is a reporter. His name's William Kelly. And he's one of these guys, like so many journalists we have around here, and like a lot of us here on FM Talk 106.5, like, this is our city. You know, we live here. We've lived here for a really long time, and we really care about what happens.
True.
Unlike a lot of transplant reporters who may come in and do their duty and then sail off to,
They're just looking at everything from 30,000 feet level and trying to report on the news.
And, you know, Chicago is one of those cities, you mentioned, you know, hard Scrabble guys, mm-hmm. and girls, that they truly love their city. There's a lot of folks like that in Chicago, and they've seen what's happened over the past few decades, and especially since Lightfoot's become mayor, and things just went downhill so quickly. And I can imagine a lot of these speeches happening with a lot of mayors around the country, but this Chicago reporter was, he had his press credentials pulled by Lightfoot a while back because she didn't like the questions that he was asking, and he delves into that here. But listen to this dude absolutely roast Lori Lightfoot at a city council meeting yesterday. Again, she's the outgoing mayor.
Mayor Lightfoot, you and I may have gotten off on the wrong foot. Reporter WilliamJKelly.com. I'm a veteran reporter in the city of Chicago, Emmy Award-winning TV host, radio, print journalism. I should be sitting over there with my colleagues, but I'm standing over here because on a weekly basis I was going viral asking you obvious questions, and instead of answering them, you told me that crime was down, my videos went viral, millions of views, comments, likes and shares, and it was hurting your reelection campaign, so you revoked my media credential. That should never happen in a free country. And I'm asking the city council to take the media credential process away from the next mayor of Chicago and the next superintendent of police and put it in the hands of the Constitution. What you've done to the city of Chicago, I feel like this is more of a victim impact statement than an actual public comment. What you've done to me is nothing compared to what you've done to my city, the city of Chicago, the city that I was born and raised in, the city that I love with all my heart. You became mayor. The people of Chicago elected you. You shut down our schools. You shut down the churches. You shut down the businesses. You did the one thing that I thought could never happen. As somebody who was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, I never thought in my life that I would ever see the city of Chicago brought down so low as you have managed to bring it down. Shame on you. That is a legacy that you are going to have to carry. Future historians are going to have a hard time understanding how you ever even became mayor of the city of Chicago. I intend to write that book. I intend to make sure that at least there is some possible way for the city of Chicago to move forward. I hope that you realize what damage you have done to the city. I hope that after today's city council meeting, you will pack your suitcase and get the hell out of my city.
So,
wow. This
absolutely went in on her.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess she just had to sit there and take it. Like, they were council members, and they were kind of milling about, and I really expected someone to object and say, sir, you got to sit down. But they let him talk, and I have a feeling he not only speaks for a lot of people in Chicago, but so many cities across America, especially a lot of the cities who have defunded police, a lot of the cities that shut everything down for a long time because of COVID, and then to stare a lot of these leaders for the leaders to stare their people in the face and act like everything's rosy. It's crazy. And finally, Lightfoot on her way out, and best we can hope for is that the same happens in a lot of these cities.
You know, that was quite a statement. It was so impassioned. It was so, it's like the genuine article. The guy was born on the south side of the city of Chicago. He knows the city. He knows the problems of the city. Chicago's really visited for the first time maybe 5 years ago or so. It's a fabulous city. It's a beautiful city. And now they've just let, obviously, there's there's more than pockets of crime. We've talked about the crime in Chicago. It's pre-pandemic for sure, pre-BLM and defunding the police. There were problems in Chicago.
No doubt.
There were problems in all major cities that just really just got way out of control. And for her to take his credentials away, somebody who is known so well in the city, you know, not just some guy, somebody who obviously is has a lot of respect of the of the, you know, he was won an Emmy on TV.
Yeah,
so he's done TV
radio program,
radio, TV reporting. For her to be so arrogant as to take away his credentials, shame on her. But here's what she didn't know: she didn't kill him. He's alive, mm-hmm. and you can take your credentials away, but he says, you know what, I think what I'll do is I'll go speak at this council meeting. And so she probably had one of the worst 5 minutes of her life right there, being so embarrassed by that guy, but good for him.
Yeah, well warranted, too, yeah. that she had to sit through that and yeah. listen to it. And
that was cool that nobody jumped in and said, sit down, sir, you've said enough.
Yeah, and may that be a message to not just her and the future leaders of Chicago, but really nationwide. There's a lot of people that feel that same exact way about their cities.
No doubt. No doubt. 851 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. And your text on the Ascension text line at 251-343-0106. Right on time on the St. Patrick's Day. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Just looking at the Ascension Technologies text line, Irish Indian says, Mayor, hold my green beer. I have something to say.
That's great.
He had something to say, all right.
Yeah, Martin gave that speech a thumbs up. Josh says, wow, that was a powerful speech from that reporter. I bet it gets buried by the media, not this media company.
No.
And Grant says, wow. Well, Grant says, 80s and 90s, we all wanted to visit Chicago, but not today. Why? And I added an amen to that speech. I thought that was just fantastic, and even better that Lightfoot had to just sit there and listen to it.
You know, the other interesting thing about Chicago as opposed to Philadelphia or even New York City is that the people themselves are really very warm. Glad to have you there. You know, Uber drivers to people you deal with in stores to whatever. It's just a really nice place with a lot of very nice people.
Still never been. I've heard it's windy, though.
It's windy.
That's what I've heard. Catalytic converters. Have you ever had a catalytic converter stolen off
you? I've not. Well, we spoiled it. Now it's a matter of time.
Yeah, I've had one stolen off my first truck about a decade ago. Catalytic converter thefts last year, 153,000 are estimated have been stolen. Based on repair records, it's higher than some previous estimates, and it doesn't look like it's getting better. The number of catalytic converter thefts since 2019 have increased by over 1,200% nationwide. Ooh. They're getting that platinum, palladium, and rhodium out of them, which I guess that would be like if there were a new three wise men, that's what they would bring, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, rather than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Top 10 vehicles that are likely to have their catalytic converters stolen.
Don't do it.
Number one is the Ford F-Series. Huh. So Ford trucks, just like the truck I had that had their catalytic converter stolen off of it. Honda Accord, number two. Toyota Prius 3, Honda CR-V 4, and then a couple Fords. Ford Explorer, Ford Econoline, Chevrolet Equinox 7, Silverado 8, Toyota Tacoma 9, and Chevrolet Cruze 10. Now, I do not see Mercedes Sprinter van, which is what our mobile command unit is, that had its catalytic converter stolen just last year. So
yeah, it's kind of a sitting duck back there in the darkness of the back of the this.
Don't tell everybody.
Well, here we are. You know. I don't think we have a ton of catalytic converter thieves listening in to Mobile Mornings, do you?
No, surely not. I hope not. Hey, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Congressman Gary Palmer in hour number one. Some people's favorite, April Marie Fogle, who's now with the NRA in hour number two, and then State Senator Chris Elliott in hour number three.
Barry Parkhill dunked on that guy. It was funny. The look on his face. Like, what? 8:59.